Hello everybody, hello and welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians meets each week for worship as well as other activities during the week. This is a community created by all who come through those doors. So whether you're new to this place or have made this your spiritual home, do feel welcome here this morning. Towards the end of the service, we have a time for announcements and introductions. Anyone who's visiting is always welcome to stand and say hello if they wish then. And you're all invited to join us for tea or coffee after today's service. So let's take a moment now to take breath and take stock. For some, there has been a long journey to get here. Allow your every molecule to settle here now, because we've set aside this hour and this place to spend together in words and music and silence. It's a time for us to reflect, to turn inwards, for our thoughts to drift off perhaps, or to be more focused and alert. May we all in this next hour find something of that which we seek in our lives. Something that will help us move forward, or perhaps to find some balance or clarity where it's needed most. Jacob Trapp writes about worship, and I wonder if any of his thoughts chime with your reasons for being here this morning, when, I could remind you, you could be lying in the park, or still be in bed, or having a leisurely breakfast, but you chose to be here. To worship is to stand in awe under a heaven of stars, before a flower, a leaf in sunlight, or a grain of sand. To worship is to be silent, receptive before a tree astir with the wind, or the passing shadow of a cloud. To worship is to work with dedication and with skill. It is to pause from work and listen to a strain of music. To worship is to sing with the singing beauty of the earth. It is to listen through a storm to the still small voice within. Worship is a loneliness seeking communion. It is a thirsty land crying out for rain. Worship is kindred fire within our hearts. It moves through deeds of love and through acts of kindness. Worship is the mystery within us, reaching out to the mystery beyond. It is an inarticulate silence yearning to speak. It is the window of the moment open to the sky of the eternal. Our chalice flame welcomes you this day. And that leads into our time of prayer and reflection now. This prayer is focused on those governing our countries who have so much power. I call on the divine spirit of life and of love to be with us now and to bless all that we do and say together this day. Let's give thanks for the beauty of this day, for this land in which we live, and all the gifts we've been given. The times in which we live are often turbulent. We hear so much of the world's problems, and we can feel so helpless in the face of seemingly irresolvable dilemmas, even those in our own lives, never mind in the life of the world. Yet just as water, muddy water, shaken up in a jar, will eventually settle, let us now allow ourselves to settle a bit, to feel a sense of calm in the face of the world's challenges. as we pray for the world's leaders, that they might work for the highest good, transcending the limitations of their particular group or party. And as our own country comes to terms with the recent election results, may all who have been elected now work together for the betterment of all. As we pray for people in troubled places all around our world, let us hope that they might find a way to peace. As we pray for the great thinkers of our world, the scientists and engineers, that they might find solutions to the problems of our day. As we pray for people in our own lives for whom life is challenging. And as we pray for the painful places inside ourselves. Let's imagine a circle of light, like our circle of lit candles on the table here. Imagining a circle of light surrounding all difficulties and dilemmas, bringing fresh hope and insight and possibility. And may this be so for the greater good of all, now and always. Amen. Moments of beauty. I wrote this last year, so those of you who read the newsletter may well remember it, but it was such a special moment, and it all happened on the A40, which is not the most appealing of roads as it leaves London to the west, as some of you I know only too well. It's particularly unpleasant in a traffic jam. But there I was, queuing at a junction one day, when my wait was cheered by a most delightful sight. There was a builder walking by, dressed in dusty overalls, and in one hand he was carrying a heavy bag of tools, and in the other a sprig of philadelphus. And he was smiling to no one in particular, just smiling to himself as he walked along, ever so often lifting the flower he was holding up to his nose. Do you know the plant, philadelphus? Some people are nodding. It's also known as mock orange, and it's got a remarkable fragrance. And it's one of those smells, I don't know if you have these, it takes me right back to childhood, because a neighbour's front garden had a large philadelphus bush growing in it when I was a child, with blooms enough to pick a few to take home. The white petals fall off far too quickly, but for a little while their perfume is sweet indeed. And all these years later, I still remember that smell. So after that moment of beauty on the A40, I was noticing, this was last June, July time I think, I was spotting the philadelphus bushes everywhere here in London, having never noticed them particularly before. Have you experienced that phenomenon in your own life from time to time? We become interested in something and lo and behold, we start to notice it everywhere we look. So the suggestion in the newsletter was that we started a Noticing Moments of Beauty campaign, being open to the possibility of beauty in all its forms, especially in potentially inauspicious places like an A40 traffic jam. The Lebanese mystic Khalil Gibran reminds us that the appearance of things changes according to the emotions, and thus we see magic and beauty in them, while the magic and the beauty are really in ourselves. When we notice these moments of beauty, I think we're activating a part of ourselves. And it takes a bit of effort, because for many of us, and I think neuroscience shows that for all of us actually, it's easier to notice the bad bits. That's how we're designed in order to survive. So we notice the bad bits, the difficult moments, the ways in which the world proves our negative stories about it. So all the more important then that we sharpen up. the Philadelphus bush or the cherry blossom, it doesn't bloom for long. We need to notice it as it's there and then move on to the next moment of beauty. And in this rolling program of beauty today, now, we bring you a linguistic delight, as Michaela is going to read for us, the poem on which the Franz Schubert piece we're going to hear in a moment is based. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce Frühlingsglauber.
So I shall read you the German first.
Go into the microphone. Okay.
Die Lindenlüfte sind erwacht. Sie säuseln und weben Tag und Nacht. Sie schaffen an allen Enden, o frischer Duft, o neuer Klang. Nun, armes Herze, sei nicht bang. Es muss sich alles, alles wenden. Die Welt wird schöner mit jedem Tag. Man weiß nicht, was noch werden mag. Das Blühen will nicht enden. Es blüht das fernste, tiefste Tal. Nun, armes Herz, vergiss der Qual. Nun muss sich alles, alles wenden. Now, unfortunately, the English translation is rotten. I had no chance to work on it. It was stuck in front of my nose, so I shall, just to show you why I think it's rotten. It says in the last line, a second before last line in the German version, poor heart, drop all your burdens. See the world opening up. That's the message. And he says, now, poor dear, forget the pain. I mean, it's just so pedestrian. Anyway, you'll have the pedestrian version. I'll do my best. The gentle winds are awakened. They murmur and waft day and night. They create in every corner, oh, fresh scent, oh, new sound. Now, poor dear, fear not. Now everything must change. The world becomes more beautiful with each day. One does not know what may yet happen. The blooming doesn't want to end. The farthest, deepest valley blooms. Now, poor heart, forget the pain. Now everything must change.
When I first came down to work in London 10 years ago or more now, I did what people sometimes do when they join a new place and have new resolutions. I joined a gym. And the young Australian man who interviewed me and filled in my application form asked me for my title. Well, I just left theology college, my ministry training complete, and I was quite chuffed with the new title of Reverend. So that was what I told him. He looked slightly confused, but he finished the application form, and in a couple of days, they sent me my membership card to Lady Sarah Tinker. Clearly thinking that the title Reverend meant you were part of the aristocracy here in the United Kingdom. And okay, I admit it, I milked it for all it was worth. And I delighted in their greeting me as good morning, Lady Sarah, for the rest of the year. I've tried using the title Reverend to get off parking tickets, and it has never worked. And in truth, I have some ministerial colleagues who would never use the title, because the root of Reverend is, of course, reverence, meaning deep respect, holding in the highest regard, a sense of wonder and awe, even, to be amazed in the presence of something most precious. And even on the best of Sundays, most ministers of religion know that we're not in that most precious league. But reverence is a word that I'm reclaiming this month. I had every intention as you came in today that you were going to be handed a little booklet, which is a 14 days of reverence challenge, which I'm going to invite anyone who wants to take part in. But I stumbled at the first challenge, which was to photocopy it in such a way that it actually went from day one to day two. Downstairs in the office is this pile of paper going day 11, day seven. It's not easy making booklets, but if you can hang around for 20 minutes after the service, particularly if you think you're not going to be here next week, then I'll get you a booklet, whether it's ready or not. Following this challenge, which is actually being run digitally by an organisation called Kindspring, who are dedicated to encouraging us all to be kinder to one another and to ourselves. And so it just felt a really nice idea to pass the project on to you. This feeling of reverence. I wonder when you have experienced that heightened sense of awe and wonder, of deepest appreciation. It seems to be a central human response to some aspects of life. And though it's found in all the world's religious systems, yet I think it goes way beyond them. We feel it in moments of being lifted in some way, don't we? Or maybe allowed to go deeper, touched by something greater than ourselves. I felt it in the presence of the newborn. I felt it in watching natural processes unfold like a chrysalis opening up to allow the scrunched wings of a butterfly to unfold. I felt it in the arms of those I love and who love me. And in majestic natural surroundings, by waterfalls and on mountain tops, or late at night staring up into a star-filled sky. Talking to some of you this week, I've heard descriptions of nests of baby birds clamouring for food, newts found wriggling in ponds, streets of cherry blossom, the birth of children or the death of loved ones, singing in choirs or listening to sublime pieces of music. Minister Kendall Gibbons has written powerfully about the need for religious humanists to reclaim words like reverence. And she talks of moments that left us with a lump in our throat or a song in our heart. I'd like to hear what those moments are in your life. Focusing on reverence reminds us to pay attention, not take anything for granted. And in today's service, we've been considering reverence for beauty. We're honouring our human ability to create beauty, and we're honouring the beauty of the earth on which we live. We're encouraging one another to see beauty in humanity, to go beyond any dualistic thinking that has us categorise this as beautiful, this as ugly. Reverence takes us to a deeper awareness of a beauty in all that is, I think. Reverence encourages to accept what is, in its imperfections. Like that Zen master who sees the perfectly tidy garden and shakes the leaves from the tree to just mess it up a bit, we know that real beauty is always flawed, never permanent, that by its very nature, beauty is a fleeting experience in the here and now. American priest and theologian Matthew Fox, who did so much to bring the ideas of creation spirituality into our everyday lives, he's extensively explored our human ability to create beauty. Beauty saves, he writes. Beauty heals. Beauty motivates. Beauty unites. Beauty returns us to our origins, and here lies the ultimate act of saving, of healing, of overcoming dualism. Beauty allows us to forget the pain and dwell on the joy. Words by Matthew Fox. And I guess that's some of what brings us to gather in a community like ours. Not denying the pain and the difficulties of life, but rather holding them in love and together finding that which is beautiful, that which inspires us and brings us joy in this crazy thing called life that we're all engaged with. And so I'm going to invite us to all join together in saying, if you wish, the words of a Navajo blessing, which is on this beige hymn sheet. It's a lovely blessing. Let's join now in saying, beauty is before me and beauty behind me. Above me and below me hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it. In my youth, I am aware of it. And in old age, I shall walk quietly the beautiful trail. In beauty, it is begun. In beauty, it is ended. Amen. Know yourself to be beautiful. Know life to be beautiful. Know all beings to be beautiful and honour all that is. For the gift of life has been given us for but a short while, a precious gift, best held lightly and with much love. Amen. Go well and blessed be.